Blog Talk Radio.
6 Degrees is another fine show brought to you by Law of Attraction Radio Network. It has been discovered that we are all connected by just 6 degrees of separation. Somehow, some way, we just need to open up the dialogue to see where our connections lie. Welcome to the 6 Degrees Show with your host, Anthony Bryce.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and good night. This is Anthony Bryce, the host of 6 Degrees. 6 Degrees is about connecting, and we are all connected. Somehow, some way, through the dialogue, the essential connections are revealed. And today, for the second time on 6 Degrees, we have Sonia Ricotti. Sonia Ricotti is a world-renowned motivational speaker delivering keynote talks, seminars, and workshops around the world. She is the number one best-selling author of The Law of Attraction, Plain and Simple, and the president and founder of Lead Out Loud Incorporated, a company that offers inspirational products, videos, and events. Sonia is also a humanitarian, having participated in and led several humanitarian trips around the world. World, this is Sonia Ricotti. Sonia Ricotti, this is the world on 6 Degrees. How are you today?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I very much so have been looking forward to this interview since we last saw each other at the Masters Gathering last June or July. And before we get into this dialogue, would you please lead the listeners to your website so they can follow along and dig in a little deeper into your world?
Well, I have a couple of websites, but my main website is leadoutloud.com. That's leadoutloud.com, leadoutloud.com. The other one is beunsinkable.com, and sinkable is like, you know, sinking in the water. So beunsinkable.com, that's something we'll be talking about tonight. And, so those are my two addresses. Lots of information there.
Yes. Well, the last interview, we focused more on what you were into at that point in time for the Masters Gathering. But this time, I really want to focus on The Law of Attraction, Plain and Simple, your book, your number one best-selling book. You made reference to this, how the book became published in the last interview. Could you begin just recapping that experience?
Of how it got published?
Yes.
Okay, that's a crazy story. Okay, well, that was definitely the Law of Attraction in action, 100%. The reason I decided to write the book, by the way, and for those of you who are listening, I want you to know that it isn't just a book about teaching you about the Law of Attraction. It actually is a book about how to achieve inner peace and happiness no matter what the circumstances are in your life. So that way you can be in that ultimate state of mind where you are generating positive energy all the time and you're feeling good all the time, and therefore you can attract and manifest anything you want in life. And so that's really what the book's about. So I just wanted to mention that. I originally self-published this book right after I saw the movie The Secret, and I loved it. I thought it was great. I watched it a few times, and I really felt that, you know, after about the third or fourth time, I said to myself, you know what, there's something missing in this movie. And although the information is great, a lot of people are going to go out and try to deliberately apply the Law of Attraction. And sometimes it'll work and sometimes it won't, but there's something crucial that's missing. And so I need to write a book. And so I wrote a self-published book, and it was called Mastering the Law of Attraction. And what it was doing was just, it was 11 steps and still is 11 steps, 11 steps on that one crucial point that was missing, and that is, how do you generate positive energy all the time, no matter what the circumstances are in your life? And I think that's the hardest part for people. because life happens, and they happen for a reason. And when those things happen in your life, that's when it's hard to be positive, to feel good. And when you're not feeling positive and you're not feeling good, then obviously you're generating negative energy. And so when you're generating negative energy, you are attracting like things to you. So you'll be attracting negative things, people, situations into your life, and that's not what you want. So anyway, the book itself was really about teaching people how to get to that ultimate state of mind that no matter what happens in your life, you'll still be okay. It'll bounce right off you. You'll be able to go with the flow, and you'll be able to still be in that ultimate state of mind. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't be getting angry or sad or, you know, the usual things that happen in life. But the question is, how quickly can you bounce back to that ultimate state of mind? So instead of being angry, sad, frustrated for days or hours, you can bounce back quickly within minutes. So that's what the book is all about. And how I ended up getting it published is quite the story. And every time I do my workshops or keynotes, anytime I do my talks, I don't know if I told the story. Did I tell the Oprah story?
Yes, you did. And you really don't have to tell the whole story again. Just encapsulate it a little.
Okay. Well, what happened was... Are you making fun of me? What happened was I actually was going to Chicago for a conference I was speaking at, and I realized that Oprah's in Chicago, so I decided to contact the people at Oprah and Friends Radio and at Oprah the Show, and I got in contact with all the producers, anyone I could possibly find and information I could find, just to let them know about the book. And believe it or not, it actually worked, and I ended up meeting with the executive producer of Oprah and Friends Radio. Gave him a copy of the book. He loved the book, but said the only problem is it's self-published. And so it's really hard to get the word out when your book is self-published, because he loved the book, and he thought that, you know, you're going to be selling tens of thousands of copies, if not more, of this book, and so you need a publisher. And so I was a little deflated, because I had no intention of getting a publisher. I just wanted to get the message out now, and I knew that it wasn't easy to get a publisher. So, and I knew I'd have to do a book proposal, and it was just a long process, and I knew that. So I was a little deflated, but he saw that in my face, I'm sure. And then he followed up with, well, you know what? Why don't I make a phone call for you? And he made a phone call to a publisher, which happened to be his publisher. I found out that he was a writer himself and an author, a fantastic one, by the way. And he got me a publisher. And now the book is called The Law of Attraction, Plain and Simple. The publisher actually changed the title. The original title was Mastering the Law of Attraction, and the new title is called The Law of Attraction, Plain and Simple. So that's the very short version. Otherwise, the full inspirational Law of Attraction in Action story will take about half an hour. We don't have that kind of time.
No, we don't. And I just really, really wanted the listeners to understand that not only do you write about the Law of Attraction, you live it.
I do.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
There's a part here in your book that you basically say, simply by shifting your thoughts, language, and most important, emotions, you will successfully master this law. Sonia, why are emotions most important for the shift?
Well, when you really think about it, I don't know if people really realize this, but when you are not feeling good, it's not because of the outside external situation or circumstance. It's your thoughts. Your thoughts are making you feel the way you feel. And those emotions are very, very important, because when you're, in the book I talk about the feeling barometer, where you can actually find out whether you're generating positive or negative energy at any given time by simply asking yourself right now. So I'm asking you right now, Anthony, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel right now? 1 being I'm not feeling good at all, and 10 being, wow, I'm on top of the world. So on a scale of 1 to 10, What are you, an 8 or 9?
I'm an 8 right now.
Okay.
Maybe even a 9.
Okay. So that's not bad. So you're probably generating, you know, very great positive energy. But let's say if you said I was a 2, like let's say you're feeling tired, you're frustrated, angry, stressed out, whatever your emotions are that are negative, then I can guarantee you you're going to give yourself a score of between 1 and 3, let's say. And that will automatically tell you that, uh-oh, I'm generating negative energy right now. And so how can I shift this? So your feelings, whatever you're feeling, those feelings are what are vibrating out there into the universe. Like energy attracts like energy. That's the simplest definition, I think, for the law of attraction. And basically all that means is that, you know, everything's made out of energy, including your thoughts. And they have found that like energy attracts like energy. If you were to look into a very powerful microscope, you'd be able to see that like energy attracts like energy. So if your thoughts are made out of energy, you're having negative thoughts, you're not feeling good, you are generating negative energy, which means that you'll be attracting negative stuff into your life. But the thing here is, you know, you could listen to music, which might make you feel good right at that moment, but when something really major happens in your life, it's not that easy to shift. But one great thing to know is that whatever you're feeling at any given moment, the reason you're feeling that is because of your thoughts about that situation, or that event, whatever is happening in your life at that given moment. People usually think that it's whatever the event is outside of themselves. So if they just got fired, the reason I'm depressed is because I got fired. And it's like, no, that's not why you're depressed or you're sad or frustrated. It's because of your thoughts around you got fired. And so if you can realize that and start analyzing and doing some self-inquiry of, you know, what are your thoughts at this given moment, you'll realize that you have these negative thoughts. And sometimes these negative thoughts, you know, you realize they're coming from limiting beliefs that you have about yourself. And it's just becoming aware of what you're thinking at any given time. And I'm not saying you're going to be doing that morning, noon, and night, but when you're not feeling good, it's probably a good time to start thinking, hey, wait a sec, what am I thinking right now? What is it that I'm thinking that's making me feel this way right now?
So the emotional aspect to the law of attraction is attached to the thought processes is what I'm...
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. It's just that a lot of times, you know, you see this a lot with some people, and I'm sure you might know people in your life. Every time I do a workshop, everyone either has a family member, a close friend, or both that seem to be negative all the time and seem to play the victim, and it just everything seems to be going wrong in their lives. And let me tell you, that's not a very empowering or powerful place to be in your life when you have no control or you feel like you have no control over your life. The truth is you do. You may not have control over certain situations, but you have 100% control of how you react to any given situation.
Isn't that, you know, that is so truthful. You know, I've said it many times on the show, you know, you can either sing in the rain or cower in the shower. The choice is yours in any moment.
I love that.
When did you first believe in the law of attraction? I mean, even if belief is a part of the whole process.
Yeah, I don't think it's a question. You know what, even before I even knew about the law of attraction, I was a firm believer in the power of positive thinking. Sorry. And so I've always had it in my mindset where I wasn't always very good at it, to be honest, but I naturally, it was just part of who I was, where I was always focusing on what I want rather on what I don't want, focusing on the positive side of things. Wasn't always great at it, but I knew that that was important. And really, the visualization and I call them attraction boards. I think in The Secret they called vision boards. I used to always have them as well. So even before I even knew anything about the law of attraction, that was just part of how I lived my life. and without even knowing what I was doing, but at the same time, I was being super successful. Even I used to work in the health and fitness industry for many years, and I used to manage a team. I used to manage health clubs, and that's one thing I used to always do is really focus on doing my best on positive management, and as well as getting the team to really visualize what they want in their careers, whatever they were doing. So if it was sales, and we were trying to be sales team of the year, or you know, even just individually, if they wanted to be number one salesperson for that month, whatever it is, I would always focus on, okay, you tell me, what do you want? What do you want to achieve? Because you can achieve anything and everything you've ever wanted in life. Now let's sit down and put a plan together. What is it that you want? So it's something I've always believed in. And then one day somebody started talking to me about the law of attraction, and I said, oh, I didn't even know there was a word for it. Yeah, so it has been a part of my life for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you go up to a cafeteria line in at a buffet, and a server looks at you and asks, "What do you want?" You know, you will be specific. Otherwise, they won't know what to give you. And I think that's pretty much how the universe responds to your intention. If you're not specific, you'll just pretty much get whatever served. I don't know. Is that?
Yeah, and you just let life happen to you.
Right.
Right, and then you just take whatever comes to you, and that's it. And a lot of people believe that you have absolutely no control, and whatever happens, happens. I don't believe that. I believe we have a lot of control. The only thing is sometimes what we want and focus on, we don't always get. And that could be one of two reasons, or I guess one of many reasons, but the two reasons I talk about is, one, it could be because you're actually generating negative energy on a subconscious level without even realizing it. That's one thing which I want to talk about. And the other reason is perhaps not, that's not what the best thing for you is. So, for instance, if you might say, I really, really want this job. Let's say you went for a job interview. I really, really, really want this job. I'm going to focus on it. That's what I want. But what you should be always saying is, this is what I want. Or something else, something that's better, right? Sometimes we don't even know what we don't know, right? So you don't really know. So you have to go with the flow. So if you end up not getting it, instead of thinking, wow, you know what, this stuff doesn't work, just keep your eyes open, because there's a really good chance there's something amazing waiting for you around the corner. Because the universe is saying, I know this is what you think you want, but I see a bigger picture. And let me tell you, you would not be happy with that. So hang on. I'm going to make sure that you get what you want, but it'll just end up being something a little different, but better.
You know, Sonia, that mind state almost assumes that the universe has a separate consciousness, is from self. You know, the universe knowing what you want more than you can see,
right,
means that the universe has more conscious awareness than you have the capacity to perceive.
Right. Now, I just want to say, we can call it universe, we can call it God, we can call it Allah, whatever you want to call it. I just want to clarify that. So I believe there's a force that's way bigger than me. And so when things don't go my way, I just kind of sit back and scratch my head and go, oh, that's kind of odd. You know, I have to tell you, I'm going to share a story with you. I've been talking about I've been planning on writing this new book called Unsinkable, which is coming out in 2011 in May. It's actually available for pre-order. If you go to Barnes & Noble online or Amazon.com, you can actually get it there for a really cheap price. But I've been planning on writing this book for a really long time, and it's taken me a really long time to get the right publisher for this book. Now, I had to, and it's a really long story, but you know, I did have a publisher. I went with my gut and my intuition, and I decided, no, I don't want to go with this person. Then there was another major publisher that was interested in it, and it was taking forever for them to decide and to send me a contract. And, like, I'm talking about 3-4 months, and in the end they said no. And I was, like, perplexed. I just couldn't believe it because it was the publishing company I wanted to go with. And but you know what? I had to accept it and say, well, okay, it's happening for a reason. I don't know what it is, but I have to trust and have faith. And eventually I got another publisher who made an offer for it, and I was really happy with that. And so it actually took a lot longer for me to get this publishing deal done. And the truth is, it was perfect. Perfect. Because honestly, when I got that first contract that I ended up declining, that book was a different book than what it is today. And so I actually came up with this premise of Unsinkable because I had gone through some difficult times in my life. And so I decided that, you know, it's time for me to write a book around it. And you know what? I wasn't 100% healed when I was originally writing the book and was trying to get a publisher. Even the second time around with the other major publisher, same thing. I thought I was ready, but I really wasn't until I got the third one where it's like, you know what, now I'm ready. I feel completely healed that I can come from a very, very powerful place to be able to help other people through difficult times. And so now I'm doing the final touches to the book. Has a very tight deadline. And you know what? It's brilliant because now it's a completely different book. I'm coming from a different place and I'm ready. I'm ready. So sometimes when we don't get what we want, when we want it, there could be an ulterior motive. You just need to trust, especially if you're doing everything in your power that you know of to keep yourself in a positive field vibration. So if you know you're doing, like in my book, The Law of Attraction, Plain and Simple, there's 11 steps there. And although it's called plain and simple, it's not plain and simple. It's just written in a plain and simple fashion, just to be clear, because it's 11 steps. It's a really easy book to read, by the way.
Lots of pictures. Oh, lots of pictures, too. I like that.
Yeah, and but it's not that easy because there's exercises in each of the chapters and each of the steps, one. And two, it takes some work to master the 11 steps. Once you've mastered them, then you'll be laughing, I'll tell you right now. Anything that comes your way, you'll be able to have it bounce right off you. You'll be fine. You get fired. You're in the middle of a divorce. Things happen. You get sick. You bounce back. All that's great. You'll continue generating positive energy moving forward toward your dreams and goals. But to master those 11 steps is not easy. One of the steps is unleash your past. That takes longer than just reading, you know, 5 minutes in a book. It takes a while and it takes work to do. Another step is forgive. And how do you forgive? Now, you probably heard this before, but when you forgive someone, you're doing it for yourself, not for the other person, first of all. And when you don't forgive, it's like living in a prison, like you're a prisoner. And there's an expression and a quote actually in the book that that says, when you don't forgive, that's like drinking rat poison and expecting the rat to die. The only person that's going to die is you. The only person you're hurting is you when you don't forgive. And to make matters worse, when you don't forgive, you're holding resentment, hatred, anger, sadness, frustration, whatever it is, and you are generating negative energy. So who are you hurting? You're only hurting yourself because the other person couldn't care less. They don't know, they don't care, whatever. Or maybe they do know, but it doesn't really matter. This is about you. So I just wanted to state that it, you know, yeah, you know, you can master these 11 steps, but it's not as easy as just reading the book and that's it and you're laughing. I mean, it takes a while to get to that place, and as long, you know what, it kills me. Sometimes once in a while, actually a lot, people love the book because it's simple, direct, and to the point. There's no fluff in it. And I've had people come up to me and say, you know what, I loved your book. I read it in like an hour. And then I look at them and I say, okay, did you do the exercises in the book? Oh, yeah, you better go back and read it. and do the exercises this time. Because if you don't do the exercise, then you're just reading a book like you're reading a novel, and nothing will change.
Isn't that the truth? And that's one of the reasons I had to have you back on the show, Sonia, is because of the exercises. And I did decide to do one of them, chasing away your inner saboteur.
Right.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful exercise. And what an enlightening and empowering process. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, when I talk about the inner, the saboteur, I'm talking about that little voice in your head that's telling you you can't be something, do something, achieve something. It's that little voice. We hear it all the time. You may not be aware of it. You may just feel like it's a part of you, and that's just the way it is. But once you start becoming very aware, you're going to start recognizing that little voice. And actually, I mentioned earlier about how I got that my publishing deal, and I had to shush away. I had to slam that door in my slam that door to my saboteur, or this would never have happened, and I wouldn't even be speaking to you today because you would not have heard of my book. So, and what happened was I knew I really wanted to contact somebody at Oprah and Friends Radio or Oprah the Show, but I don't know if you ever tried to get in contact with Oprah. It's not that easy. And so I decided, sorry, I'm losing my voice. Sorry.
Just take your time.
Sorry about that.
No.
Okay,
thanks.
I'm back. Okay, so what happened was I started researching on the internet, and I said, how do I find out how I can get in touch with these people and fast? I didn't want to go through their website. I knew that was going to be difficult to do because they get millions of emails, right? So I searched and searched and searched and searched. I couldn't find any information, any email addresses, names, anything like that. And so that saboteur, that little voice came up in my head, and it kept on saying to me, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? Seriously, you think the Oprah people care about your silly book? Let's be real. You really think your book's that good? It's not that good. Give me a break. Why are you wasting your time? Now, that was coming up for me because I actually was going to Chicago to speak at a health and fitness conference, and I needed to prepare for that speaking event, and I hadn't started yet. So the little saboteur is saying, you really, really should be focusing on your presentation and not wasting your time trying to get in touch with Oprah people. It's not going to happen, right? And it's that little voice saying you can't do something, be something, achieve something. And a lot of times it's what stops us from moving forward and achieving and trying to achieve our dreams and going out there and taking risks. So I, of course, am aware of my saboteur, which comes up a heck of a lot. And so I said to my saboteur in my mind, I said, well, thank you for sharing. And then I visualized slamming the door to my saboteur. Now, I talk in the book that you should actually name your saboteur. It could be Peter, Samantha, Gremlin, whatever it is. You can give it a name. And so that way you feel like it's not really part of you. It's just this little, you know, kind of a puppet outside of you. So when you hear it, you're like, thank you for sharing, and just completely just slam the door. So what happens is you really need to recognize when that saboteur is coming up for you. And when that saboteur is coming up for you, you just shoo it away. And so did you have a saboteur that came up for you?
Oh, absolutely. And I can't really give you the name of my saboteur on air. But it's he's just a little a-hole.
You're so rough with your saboteur.
Well, you know, really, that when I realized that little saboteur was there, you know, it invigorated me. And one thing about my character set, Sonia, is when I realize that there's something in my life that's eating away the very essence of my being, I fight like a mad dog to get rid of it. So thank you very much for allowing and helping me to for my little saboteur to emerge and be recognized in my life, because now that little a-hole is It's really hurting. He's hurting.
That's good. You beat it up well, eh? Well, it's interesting because, you know, most of the time we are the ones that are in our own ways, you know, in our own way. So, you know, we could blame it on external circumstances, people, whatever, that stops us from achieving what we want to achieve. But most of the time it's just us. It's that little saboteur that's telling us we shouldn't do something. Now, you know, I find it really amazing because in one of my workshops, I have a workshop called Live Life Out Loud that I do usually about once or twice a year. And part of one of the exercises is two people sit together and the question they have to ask each other is, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? And it's a very, very powerful exercise. And the stuff people would do if they knew they could not fail is insane, the stuff that they would do. But you're sitting there and I'm watching them as they're doing this exercise and I'm thinking, but then why aren't they doing it? Well, why? Because they're afraid of failing, right? And failure is the number one reason, this fear of failure. And you know what? Sometimes even the fear of success and what that brings you is what stops people as well. So, you know, if you're sitting back and you're thinking, yeah, I'd like to do this, but I'm not sure it's going to work. So instead, I'm just going to be in my little cocoon here and just be safe. You know, you can do that, that's fine. As long as you're on top of the world, you feel like you're 10 out of 10, you feel 100% happy in your life, then that's total. There's nothing wrong with that. Most people don't feel a 10 out of 10 and on top of the world. They feel like they're stunted, right? And so it's the fear of failure. So all I have to say is and that's the saboteur that's coming up all the time, of course. And, you know, whenever that happens and you have this fear of failure, I mean, so what if you fail? You fail, you fall down flat on your face, you get back up, you brush yourself off, and you move forward, and you continue. And sometimes you need to, you know, adjust your path to get to where you want to go. But the bottom line is, if you don't risk it, you won't. If you don't take any risks, you're not going to move forward and achieve greatness in your life. You'll still be happy, maybe. You'll be in your comfort zone. And as long as, I just want to say, whatever your dreams are, whatever, you know, if you're 100% happy where you are and content, then good for you. You know, that's awesome. You don't have to go be a millionaire or have some enormous career or, you know, end, you know, world poverty. And, you know, you don't have to do all those things if that's not what your thing is. As long as you're happy, that's all. You feel content and complete, then that's great. And I'm just saying that because, you know, I know people who are like that. And they aren't doing superhuman, massive, big things in their lives and, you know, really stepping outside the box and doing all these crazy things. But they're super happy. And that's all that matters. They're peaceful and they're happy. But if you're not and you really feel like there's something missing, unless you do something different and take a risk and step outside the box, by the way, another workshop I do is called Living Outside the Box. If you don't step outside the box, you're always going to feel the way you do. If you're going to sit around and wait for things to change without changing anything, it's not going to happen. It's really that simple. And yes, sometimes you're going to step outside the box and you're going to realize that you failed, you fall flat on your face. So what? You know what? The more you fail, the closer you are to reaching greatness in your life, whatever that means to you.
You knew exactly what I was going to ask you next, because that was my next question, the so what. I love that attitude. You know, some people may think that's a little harsh, so what, so what. But that so what puts you in a perspective.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, first of all, it's a journey. It's not the end destination that's important here. It's you need to enjoy the journey. If you're not enjoying the journey, then you need to make some shifts, whether it's internally, mentally, externally, whatever it is, because it's great to have a goal and it's great to have dreams and visions of what you want to achieve. But if you're not enjoying the journey, you're never going to reach that destination, because if you're not enjoying the journey and you're suffering going through it, that's all negative. Right? So, you know, I talk in the book about, I say that actually in the book about so what. Usually, if I'm not mistaken, because it's been a while since I wrote the book, but I talk about, I say so what where someone's talking about their past, why they, let's say if I say something like, so tell me what your dreams are in life. And then they say, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this, and I want to achieve this. And I'll say, oh, that's really great. So why aren't you doing it already? And then they come up with a whole long list of reasons / excuses of why. It's like, well, because, you know, my kids are small and I'm waiting for them to grow up and go to school and all that. I don't have enough money. I'm waiting for to change jobs. So whatever. And there's a long list of things. I grew up in a very poor family and we never had anything, so we never had those opportunities. Oh, well, this happened to me and that's why. And my response every time is, so what? So what that this was your past? So what that these are the reasons? Now, I don't want to hear the reasons why you can't do something. I want to hear the reasons why you can and what you can do to step outside of the box. Think of different ways that you can achieve what you want right now and not wait and, you know, have the someday syndrome. You know, someday I'm going to do this. Someday when the kids are older, I'll start going out there and working or starting my new company. Someday I'm going to travel and do this. Really? Well, what if you die tomorrow? That someday is never going to happen. If you're waiting for the stars to line up in order to start living your life, I hate to tell you, but time flies really, really fast. Think of how quickly the last 10 years have gone by. It's fast. And if you're waiting for the stars to line up, I can guarantee you right now that will never happen. It will the stars will never line up for you because there will always be something that will fall in front of you in your path saying you can't do it. You need to go out there and start doing something now, even if it's a little thing moving you forward, and look for different ways of how you can achieve. You might have to work hard to do it, don't get me wrong. But the truth is we put these dreams on a shelf and we're hoping to one day get there, someday I'm going to get back to it. And then guess what? It's going to be 30 years later and that someday never happened and maybe you're sick or maybe you're on your deathbed, whatever it is, and you realize, wow, I never went back to that thing on that shelf. So I don't even know why I just said that, to be honest. But I have to tell you that sometimes I go on a different tangent and it usually is because someone who's listening needed to hear that message.
They absolutely needed to hear it. And while you were speaking, I had a vision, and it's basically what I interpreted from that vision was the stars are always aligned. The stars are aligned, always.
That's okay, what do you mean by that? Because I'm saying that they'll never be aligned.
They always are aligned. It's you who is not aligned.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Okay, I understand that. But yeah, you're right. You're right. They are always aligned, and in our minds they're not aligned, and we're waiting for the perfect scenario for it to actually happen. And yeah, you're right. It's just that sometimes, you know, if things aren't exactly the way you would like them to be, they're just a little bit harder to get out there and actually take those risks or, you know, do what you want to do. But if it really is something that you truly love and it's something that you really believe in and it's something that is really part of who you are and you know that, then you need to step outside the box and really think about different ways of how you can go ahead and find ways that you can do it. So let's say you do have small children and you do want to start your own business, but, you know, you just can't because you just don't have enough time. Well, you need to think about different ways of how you can make it happen. That doesn't mean you're going to drop your family and all of a sudden focus strictly on, you know, this company and you neglect your family. I'm not saying that at all. But what are things you can do? You know, maybe you might have a neighbor who can come and watch the kids 1 or 2 hours a day, and during those 2 hours you focus on this project of starting your own business, whatever it is. I mean, just think outside the box, different ways. You know, maybe it's a family member. You know, maybe you take turns with the parents in the neighborhood and taking the kids, and so you just have a little extra time, even if it's just an extra half hour a day, 1 hour a day, to work on whatever project instead of saying, I'm going to wait till the kids are, in grade one or the kids are, you know, finished high school and then I'll do that. You know, I mean, you know, I just want to say something else, and this is a message, for, I'm sure, for one of your listeners. you know, when you have children and you are saying to, you have a dream and you're saying to them, you know, I love you so much. I have this dream and one day I'm going to fulfill it, but right now I cannot fulfill it because I need to take care of you and you're my number one priority. And of course, the children should always be number one priority. But at the same time, can you imagine being that child and saying, wow, because of me, she's not able to live her greatest life. And that can't be, that cannot feel good for a child, first of all. Second of all, wouldn't it be great to be able to be an incredible role model for your children, to show them what they, show them that they can be, do, and have anything they want in life? Yeah, you might have to make some sacrifices because of the circumstances, but just being able to be that role model. And it's going to take a little bit of juggling to do it. Don't get me wrong. I see it sometimes where the families are neglected, you know, and I see the reverse where their whole lives are the children. And then they feel, and the parent is feeling completely, you know, hollow inside because they had bigger dreams and they never had the chance to fulfill them because of family. So it's really like a seesaw, and it's not easy to balance it, but, you know, it's not easy. But can you imagine if you can achieve that, be an amazing parent and an amazing role model to show your children that you can be, do, and have anything you want? Look, I'm doing it, and I'm being a great parent to you as well.
Isn't that the truth? And there really are so many people out there in the world doing just what you're saying, especially now, and especially because of people like yourself who are helping them to really tap into their own greatness. Sonia, speaking of tapping into your own greatness, why is meditation so important?
Well, I think that intuition comes through meditation. Intuition comes through clarity. And when you're in a place of peace, you know, sometimes we're not really sure, you know, if you're in a situation and you need to get some answers, a lot of times what we do is we go and ask all our friends and family members, tell them the situation and try to get their advice and feedback, which is fine. But when you really think about it, they're going to give you their feedback based on their lives, based on their beliefs, based on their limiting beliefs, based on the lives that they lived and the shoes that they've worn over the years. It's not based on you, who you are, what your beliefs are, what your dreams are. It's not based on that at all. So in reality, we need to really find the answers within. We have all the answers within. Just sometimes they're hard to reach and get those answers because there's a fog happening in our minds. Stuff is happening. We're busy. We're stressed. We're frustrated. Whatever that is, it's hard to get those answers and follow your own intuition. So meditation is a phenomenal way to really get clear, to clear your mind and really be in a place of peace. And when you get to clear your mind that way, like an empty slate, even if it's for a short period of time, those messages that need to come to you will come to you if you intentionally ask for them. Sometimes they actually come without you. I get messages all the time, and sometimes not intentional. It's just kind of like, whoa, okay, I don't know where that came from, but oh my God, that's a great idea. And so meditation is important to be able to really be able to steer your life in the direction you need to go, without having to go to everyone around you and ask them to help you steer your life. It's your life, and the answers are within. So taking the time to yourself every day to do some meditation, do journaling. Journaling is great because what you're doing is basically having a conversation with yourself and taking what's in your mind and all that fog and taking all that stuff and taking it out of your head and putting it on paper so you have nice, clear space in your mind to be able to be in a place of peace, and there's clarity in there.
Thank you so much, Sonia, for that answer. Your next work, How to Be Unsinkable in Life.
Yes.
And you mentioned it earlier that The book is ready, is already up on Barnes & Noble and Amazon for pre-order. If you would just direct people to that, how can they pre-order it?
Okay. Well, there's different ways that they can do that. They can either go to Amazon.com and just look up Unthinkable as a book, and maybe Unthinkable, and then my name, which is Sonia Ricotti, R-I-C-O-T-T-I. And just do a search, and the book will come up. If you prefer to go to Barnes & Noble, it's at barnesandnoble.com, or bn.com, actually, is another way to get there. And do the same thing. Just do a search under Unthinkable and Sonia, S-O-N-I-A, Ricotti, and it'll come up, and they can order it there. The book itself is coming out May 15, 2011, but we'll be doing a lot of great stuff in the meantime, between now and then, and afterwards as well, for years to come around this topic.
Well, thank you. In the book, you say it's okay to feel bad. Why do you say that?
Well, when you're going through a difficult time, I love that you asked this because I think this is really a very important concept to get, because when you're going through a difficult time, whether it's a divorce, a financial, you might be losing your home, illness, death in a family, whatever it is, and you're going through a really difficult time, you are not feeling good. And sometimes when we're in that place where we're not feeling good, we're sad, and we just, you know, can't shake it, what we have a tendency to do in our culture is kind of ignore it, distract ourselves, and, you know, spend time with friends, go to the movies, do different things, and just distract ourselves so we don't feel what we're feeling. And, you know, a lot of times people think, like from the Law of Attraction, the movie The Secret, they do that. They think, oh, well, this is really great because I'm not feeling bad right now by doing all these other things. So this is good because that means I'm generating positive energy. No, that doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that you are not feeling good, so you are distracting and ignoring what you're feeling, which means you're just pushing down and internalizing all that negative stuff even more. And then that's coming up at a subconscious level where you are generating negative energy on a subconscious level, which is not a good thing, obviously. So if you're not feeling good, if you've just been through a divorce, if you are just losing your home, you know, just filing for bankruptcy, whatever is happening in your life, you're not feeling good, just let it out. It's okay to feel bad. It's okay to cry. It's okay to let it out. And the reason I'm saying that is that's a release. Yeah, you might be generating negative energy during that period, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, but the truth is as soon as you release it, it's released, and then you can move forward, and it feels so much better, and you move forward. You're not holding it in and holding it inside of you forever. You know, so it's really important to recognize that if you are going through something difficult and you feel sad, don't make yourself wrong for feeling sad. It's okay to feel sad because something's happening. That's fine. But just recognize that if you feel like crying, you just cry and you let it out and you just release it. You just release it.
You talk also in your book, your new book, about shattering your belief systems. You know, a lot of people have a problem with that. Even people like myself who really believe in the Law of Attraction or you know, to be honest, what does belief have to do with anything anyway? If I don't believe, especially when it comes down to laws of the universe, like Sonia, if I don't believe in gravity, I'm not going to float away, you know? So, you know, but for me personally, belief is important. But anyway, I don't want to go off on too many deep tangents.
Yeah, no, but this is important. This is important. When I say belief systems, I'm talking about all the limiting beliefs, all the things that you said to yourself or have been told by other people when you were a child that are messing you up at a subconscious level without even realizing it. Those are limiting beliefs. So if you were a child and you were told that you would amount to nothing, or you were told that you were ugly, or whatever, whether it's from other kids at school or whatever, that you've been internalizing, that stuff comes up in everyday life without you even realizing it. So whenever something happens in your life, a lot of times the way you're reacting to it has a lot to do with your past and your limiting beliefs about yourself and about the about life itself. So if you can actually release that. So I'm going to give you a quick example. A while ago when I was doing the Be Unsinkable teleseminar series, I had somebody on there that that was originally scheduled and to be on there. And the day before the start of the teleseminar series, they had I had to remove them from the schedule because something negative happened in a conversation, not even with that person, but with that person's team, and we were on a conference call. And something that the publicist said to me, which was very derogatory and very rude to me, made me not feel very good about the whole thing, and I decided I don't want any negative energy around this teleseminar series. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to let this person go and not be part of this teleseminar series, even though it wasn't them, but it's the people that surrounds this person. And so what happened was I was really upset about what this person said to me on this conference call, which was very condescending. And I didn't like the way he spoke to me. And I was really, really, really upset about it. And that's what's great about self-inquiry. Because was I upset because this person who I don't even know said something rude and derogatory and condescending to me? Is that why I'm upset? You know, is that what's making me walk around like, you know, with a cloud over my head? Why am I so upset about this? Like, who cares? They're just words. The guy doesn't even know you. What's the big deal? And it occurred to me is that the way he was speaking to me in a condescending manner, stuff was coming up for me, and I was making it mean something about myself, that I wasn't good enough. Whatever came up, limiting beliefs that I had inside of me that I've held for a really long time that I'm working on regularly to unleash and get rid of. And so that's my point. How you react to situations, people think it's just the actual situation. A lot of times it's not the situation. It's actually your limiting beliefs that you have put on over time and kept on since you were young or, you know, for whatever experiences you've had, and those experiences are coming up for you in this particular situation. So it's really important to recognize and to do self-inquiry when you are not feeling good about a particular situation or if you're really overreacting over something somebody said to you. Usually it has something to do with your past, something that you made, whatever happened, you made it mean something about you. And if you can actually dig deep and do that self-inquiry. You know, once I did that with myself and I said, wow, I'm upset right now because the stuff that's coming up is that I'm not good enough, right? He was condescending to me like I was nothing. And stuff was coming up for me even from my past. And I said, wow, that's why I was getting mad at him. But it had nothing to do with the situation, so I was able to release that. And I was just kind of laughing, going, that's so ridiculous. Now let it go, move on, and move forward. And I got a replacement, and it was over, and that's it. So that's what I mean by limiting beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Yeah, there's definitely a distinction between what you believe in and what you're living, your beliefs are. And I really appreciate
right.
that clarity. Sonia, we're almost out of time. I realize that none of us we're all perfect. We really are perfect as we are. It's just this environment that we live in this, you know, this reality of life in the physical form that we have to go through that kind of puts on tarnish on our perfection. And what you're offering in the classes that you give, in the books that you write, are ways where people really polish themselves and are able to shine the true light onto the world, and I appreciate you for what you do.
Thank you. And you know what, when you say tarnish, That's perfect. I mean, what I talk about are boxes. That's why I have a workshop called Living Outside the Box, is that all these things that happen to us, it's like we're being shoved in this box more and more and more and more. And it's really about recognizing that you have complete freedom over your life, what you think, how you react, and what happens to you in your life. It's not the people around you. You choose how you react to what is going on and what people are saying to you. So I think that's really important. And something I just want to mention quickly before we go, is two things. First of all, I mentioned that my website's leadoutloud.com, and that's my general website. But for those of you who are interested, you can actually get some really great free gifts, like amazing gifts, especially if you're going through a difficult time right now. If you go to beunsinkable.com and you go to that page, and that was a teleseminar series page, but what we were doing is we were giving away a lot of free bonus gifts, a gift for EFT, a great release technique, which is an audio recording, a two-hour interview I did simply on how to be unsinkable, lots of really great stuff, and it's free, so you can sign up there as well. So I just want everybody to go to beunsinkable.com and be able to get those gifts. And the other thing I just want to mention too, if you allow me, Anthony, is that if anybody is interested in that teleseminar series, you can actually get a copy of it either digitally, which means downloading the MP3s, or the CDs as well. So if you go to beunsinkable.com, get the free gifts. It'll automatically take you to a page, the actual programs. And what I'll say is, for those of you listening, you'll get a really great discount, and I'm going to give you a special code for it. And if you get the gold package, then it's gold, the word gold, you would put in the actual coupon code. So gold, and if you want the platinum package, which is a CD set, just put the word platinum as a code, and you'll get a list discount. It's almost free. So I just want to let people know that you have that opportunity. You there?
I certainly am there, and I appreciate that. I went to beunsinkable.com, and that audio kicked in. So I had to.
Oh yeah, there's a video on there that you can watch. I created that actually. That was channeled through me. I did that literally in like a half hour. I put it together. It's a cool video. It's just a minute long.
It is cool, really cool. And I suggest all of the listeners to go to beunsinkable.com and get tapped into the world and the life of Sonia Ricotti. And it really is just bigger than the name and the word Sonia Ricotti, because you are quite obviously tapped into the greatness of all that is. And I appreciate you for all that you do, Sonia.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Is there any parting words of wisdom?
Oh, absolutely. I have to say that if anybody that's listening right now is going through a difficult time, I want you to know that, first of all, you're not alone. There are lots of people, if not everyone, at some point in time either are going through something right now or have gone through something difficult. So you're definitely not alone. This too shall pass. It's happening for a reason. You don't know what it is yet, but have faith. Something bigger and better is waiting for you around the corner. So never, ever give up. Because just remember, when you get to that point where you feel like giving up, that's when things are about to turn. So hold on. Great things are waiting for you.
Thank you, Sonia, for coming on to 6 Degrees. And I absolutely look forward to reading your book, Unsinkable.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show of 6 Degrees.